He says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." With every blessing, spiritual blessing in Christ. I've explained what that means before. So, the Bible is not saying God is going to bless you. God is thinking about blessing you. Someday God will bless you. If you behave good, if you do certain things, God is going to bless you. No, the Bible says you have been blessed in Christ Jesus. Everyone is blessed. And I said the implication of that is that in Christ Jesus, no one is under curses. There's no one is under curses in Christ, because you cannot be blessed and be under curse at the same time. Hallelujah. You know, curses over you have been broken. The yoke of curses have been lifted off your neck. You are no longer under curse. A curse simply means to pronounce something on someone, to put power on someone, the power that will make the person experience hardship, go through pain, lack, poverty, experience tough time in life, no matter how hard he works. There's something hanging on his neck that will introduce him to pain every now and then, to losses every now and then. It's called curse. And that, in Christ Jesus, is lifted. Anyone who comes into Jesus walks away from curse into blessing. You are in blessing. And you are blessed because the Bible says Christ has redeemed you from curse. That is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. By redemption, it means that he took your place. Hallelujah. You and Christ swapped position. When he hung on the cross, he took away your curses and put on him, and that sent him to the cross. He died as a payment, you know, for curses. He, with his blood, purchased you out of curses and into blessing. Hallelujah. And this is why a believer should never be afraid that he can be cursed. A believer should treat with levity pronouncement of curses over him, because it cannot succeed. Hallelujah. I'm not saying to be naive or walk in ignorance. I'm saying pronouncement of curses over you cannot work if you are walking in the blessing. You cannot be cursed and blessed at the same time. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. And by redemption, it means the blood has paid for your curses. Hallelujah. So I said that because you have been redeemed from curses, it means that when anything is going wrong with a believer, or he has not achieved, you know, the goal he has set for himself, it's not because he is under a curse. Because something that he aspired for has not materialized does not mean that that is because there's curse on his life. It may be many different reasons. And the first reason could be because there's something he needs to know and do which he is not aware of, or something he needs to do to trigger the blessing, to trigger his success, which he ignores or refuses to do. Hallelujah. This is why the Bible says, if you are willing and you are obedient, you will eat the good of the land. There's always something that we need to do, always something that we need to discover, know, to walk into certain manifestations of blessings. And when we don't know them, you know, the material manifestation of blessing can tarry. And sometimes a believer does not walk into what he's hoping for, because it's not the time, it's not the season. There is a set time and a season for everything under the sun. Hallelujah. And Father God does everything in its season. And it could be also that things are rough because there is a warfare over someone's destiny. Hallelujah. You're not under curse, but there is a battle over your life. There is a spiritual battle over your destiny. The kingdom of darkness is fighting to hold you down. And this is where you need to understand that the believer engages in the warfare. The Bible says we wrestle. Amen. Say to your neighbor, we wrestle. Hallelujah. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil is going about like a roaring lion to devour someone, to tamper with destiny. And this is where you need to figure out from the scriptures the weapons of the believer's warfare. We need to fight warfare, and the Bible has laid down warfare, something that we can use, tools to engage the forces that are opposed to us, so we can push them out of the way and walk right into that which is our destiny. Hallelujah. The Bible is filled with revelation of how the believer should engage this world. You are blessed. And by being blessed, it means that you are empowered to succeed. You are empowered to fulfill your destiny. You are empowered to walk into your purpose. You are here on earth for an assignment. There are things that you must achieve. There are possessions that you must acquire. There is a height that you must lift or rise to. There are people who are counting on you to survive. All that is written concerning you is achievable because you are, by being blessed, empowered, enabled to get there. And I prophesy upon you that you will get there. Hallelujah. You will make progress in the name of Jesus. You will find true, genuine fulfillment in this life in the name of Jesus. The goals that you set for yourself, you will exceed them all in Jesus' name. It is very important to know that you are blessed. Another word for blessed is anointed. Amen. Say, I am anointed. I tell you something, and I tell you the truth. In Christ Jesus, everyone is anointed. It's not only men that are called into ministry that are anointed. Men that are called into ministry, they are anointed for certain roles. I am anointed for the pastoral ministry. Are you listening to me? Someone may be anointed to step into the office of the prophet. Someone may be anointed to step into the office of an apostle. Is a anointing for ministry. But in Christ Jesus, everyone is anointed for his destiny. Everyone is anointed for his purpose. The anointing comes from God. in Christ Jesus. It's not the oil that we put on you. Are you listening to me? No man can anoint you. It's God that anoints. The oil that we put on you is to step into faith with you, or stand in faith with you, to trigger something that is already pronounced over your life. The ministry of laying up of hands, the ministry of whatever, you know, it's so to trigger what's already there. But the anointing comes from God, and everyone is anointed. Put your hand on your chest and say, I believe in Christ Jesus. I am anointed. If you believe, say amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 says, now he which established us with you in Christ and had anointed us with you in Christ is God, who had also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost which you have received, is the anointing. And everyone in Christ is sealed. Everyone in Christ is anointed. Paul writing says, all of us together with you, we are not only establishing Jesus, not only sealed with the Holy Ghost, we are all anointed. You are anointed. I've got the anointing to engage my career and do well in it. I've got the anointing to engage my business and prosper and succeed. I've got the anointing to engage my studies and come up with flying colors. I've got the anointing to live a successful married life. I've got an anointing to make money and enjoy my wealth. Whatever is your aspiration in life, you are anointed for it. Hallelujah. And to a believer who is walking, please leave that scripture there, I'm coming back to a believer who is walking with the Holy Ghost, or who allows the Holy Ghost to walk in him, you are sealed with the Holy Ghost. Now, next week, I'm going to be talking on how to walk in the anointing. I've ministered on that topic before, but I think God wants me to just operate this way so I can release it to new dimension. Amen. The believer who is walking with the Holy Spirit has the Holy Spirit sealed on him, and if he's walking with that Holy Spirit, from time to time, the Holy Spirit will trigger some aspirations in him, some drive, some passion. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says, for it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God will stir up in you a passion to become a member of the parliament. God will stir in you a passion to become a billionaire. God will stir up inside of you to engage this business and break through it. Let me tell you, every desire, every aspiration, every dream of yours can be from the Holy Ghost. It's not just some foolish thing. It's coming in your heart. The more you think about it, the more you feel good about it. And this is why parents, African parents especially, should learn to release their children to pursue their drive, their passion. Amen. It doesn't always have to be medicine or engineering or law. Let them pursue their passion. Hallelujah. That's a young person clapping there. That their last destiny, the Holy Ghost who is on the inside of you, is the was the word. He triggers destiny. Hallelujah. And whatever he triggers, whatever comes from your heart as a passion, as a drive, you are anointed for it. So the Bible says in verse 21, now he which established us with you in Christ and had anointed us is God. Hallelujah. Verse 22 says, who had also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The Holy Ghost earnestly compelling you, pushing you, driving you through that which you feel you are anointed for it. And I'm praying that after today, the anointing will begin to work for you in a brand new way. Amen and amen. So in Christ Jesus, you are anointed and you can do all things. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus, you are anointed and with you, all things are possible. In Christ Jesus, through you, God can do exceedingly abundantly, far more and above what you can ever imagine or ask for. In Christ Jesus, you are anointed to be a wonder to nations. Hallelujah. You are anointed so that, or empowered or blessed, so you can be free from curses. So you cannot be cursed. You are beyond curses. You are blessed. You cannot be subjugated by the devil and oppressed through sicknesses and diseases anymore. You've gone past failure, lack, poverty. It's not your portion in Christ Jesus. Amen. I mentioned the other week that one of the things that the blessing does for you is to enable you be wealthy. For the Bible says in Proverbs 2 verse 22, Proverbs 10 verse 22, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without pain, without sorrow with it. Hallelujah. It can make you wealthy. This blessing takes out of poverty wealth. And I talked about wealth can be having success in money making. It can be God empowering you to own lands and houses. Lands and houses are wealth. You can be blessed with education, with wisdom. You're creative, you're making things happen, you're leading successful business. You are an employer of labor. You are blessed with children. Children are a blessing. In Africa, we see children as wealth, the blessing. Whichever is it to you that wealth is, whatever that is, you are blessed to have it. Amen. You are blessed to have it. One clear thing that we can see in the scriptures, very clear, that Jesus was having in mind when he was taking on himself our curses is prosperity. Hallelujah. Clearly Jesus had prosperity in mind. He wants us prosperous. One of the clear signs of the blessing is prosperity. That you can see and know that someone is blessed is prosperity. He's walking in the blessing. He can be blessed, but not understand that this can be involved with that as well. But a clear sign of walking in the blessing is prosperity. And when Jesus was dying, he had prosperity in mind. Hallelujah. If you're with me, say amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So why did Jesus choose to be poor? So I can be wealthy, so I can be rich. He had that in mind. The devil will tell you that being wealthy is carnal, isn't it? It's worldly, but that's like the devil. It depends on what you do with your prosperity. And if you read Proverbs, you will see that God enjoys it. God delights in prosperity. When a believer is doing well, he's happy, he is fulfilled, he's making progress, he's making ends meet. God finds pleasure. So Psalm chapter 35, verse 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God has pleasure. Hallelujah. He wants to prosper. One of the reasons for prosperity, like I said last week, is so you can find comfort in life. So you can be comfortable. So you can have enjoyment. Amen. God has no problem with you enjoying life. Hallelujah. You remember me saying that? God has no problem at all with you enjoying life. Don't let religion subject you to a depressive way of life. God wants you to enjoy life. And this life is a gift. This life is beautiful. Hallelujah. The essence of prosperity is not so you can have something to show your bank account. Hallelujah. It's so you can enjoy life. If you live like a pauper, you live a depressive life, you live like someone from the ghetto, and there's so much accumulated in your account, it doesn't make sense to you. I'm not saying to live the prodigal, wasted kind of life. Are you? Can we balance that up? Amen. I'm not saying to be someone who is carnally materialistic. But I'm saying God gives you good things of life so you can enjoy them. He wants you to enjoy life, celebrate life, feel good about living. If death comes and you're saying, "Dad, I rebuke you," why? What was it for? So you're working hard, working so hard, you are always tired. What was it for? God wants you happy, fulfilled, enjoying life. Enjoy your life. Hallelujah. I say enjoy your life within boundaries of the word of God. Enjoy life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So this is very, 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 very crucial. It's very crucial. Command those, Paul writes to Timothy, and I like the Amplified Version. He says command. He says command. Timothy was a pastor, and Paul the apostle wrote to him. Said, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our what? In the Bible, is it on the screen? Should be on the screen, please. For our enjoyment. Hallelujah. Can we read that together? Every one of us is from the Amplified Version. One, two, go. As for the rich in this world, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous of others, but to set their hope on all. Okay, it's my fault. Let's have it one more time. One, two, go. As for those, it's me again. What am I reading? One, two, go. As for the rich in this world, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous of others, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God, who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God wants your enjoyment. Don't live a sad, depressive, poverty-stricken kind of life. You are blessed, but you are poor. The Bible says, come and see abomination. Servants are riding on horses, and princes are walking. Celebrate the gift of God in your life. Don't say when they see that they will start to ask me, they think I'm blessed, everybody will be demanding from me. I know that you're hiding your wealth under poverty. You're blessed, but you're living on your curse. Amen. Hallelujah. Enjoy your life. Tell me, say to your neighbor, enjoy your life. That's why you are blessed. Hallelujah. Live life in full. That in old age, when it's time to come, to go home, and you look back, you say, ha, this life is beautiful. Thank you, God. Ha. And there's more on the other side of eternity. Amen. That is your portion. Wealth is good. Wealth is good. To be wealthy is good. To be poor is bad. To be wealthy is godly. To be poor, suffer lack, is not godly. It cannot be of God. Definitely, it's of the devil. Say in the name of Jesus, I reject poverty or any kind of lack. I am blessed. This life is for enjoyment, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Is you seeing prosperity or your wealth or the manifestation of your blessing. Remember we said material things, they are not the blessing, right? They are a manifestation of the blessing. Hallelujah. The car is not the blessing. The new shoe is not the blessing. Silver and gold, they are not the blessing. All these things are temporal, they are uncertain. That's what God says, don't put your trust in them. Money grow wings and it can fly. Cars can break down and all that. But you are blessed, you're given the ability to make them continually, ceaselessly, they are in the flow for you. Now, God does not want you, when these things begin to come, to only think about you. And you, and just you. A certain man whose farm brought forth harvest plentifully in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. You know, his farm yielded much crops that his little barns could not contain. And he said to himself, I'll break these barns down, I'll build bigger barns, and I'll store all this harvest in, and I'll then rest and say to my soul, just rest for many years. Just rest. And God looked at the man and he said, foolish man. And God killed him that night. Are you with me? Now this is because God never gives you wealth only for yourself. He wants to enjoy that. God does not want you to be a pipe. Pastor K used the word conduit. God does not want you to just be a blessing. Hallelujah. You are not just a blessing. Say, I'm not only a blessing. I am blessed. I am blessed. Don't just say, I'm a blessing. I am blessed. You are not a pipe. You are not just a channel. It comes. That's how some believers see. God wants to enjoy that, but God does not want it to end with you. Hallelujah. He wants you to think about others. He wants you to do what? To think about others. He wants some other people to find comfort, to find provision, to find support, help through you. If you're being blessed, someone should join you to enjoy the blessing. Hallelujah. That you are using all your earnings, all your incomes, all your habits, only on yourself and on your family is ungodly. That it ends with just you and your family. Me, my family is on God. And I charge believers, you have to start from where you are today. If you want it to increase, you want to start from the little you have. Everybody want to make sure that your salary is not used on only you alone. You must take out something and look for a way to bless somebody. Are you with me? No matter how small you can afford, just make sure that every month someone partakes of your blessing. Someone. Not necessarily connected by blood, but someone other than God partakes of your blessing. Now, this is why Paul says, command them. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, from the New International Version that we read, it says, command. Command those who are rich. And I command you in the name of Jesus. Say, I receive. I command you in the name of Jesus. The kingdom says, charge them! Charge them! Tell them, instruct them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, they be not proud, not to trust in their riches. It shouldn't make them feel weak, such that they place their security on it, and they look at others that don't have like them as nobody, as less. Everyone is a servant because you've got more than them. Everyone is a loser. You look down on the people that you are ahead of, they've got more than they've got today. Oh, you have no idea what God is working out for that person. Never look down on anyone, please. Amen. Never look down. The person that you look down on today, you may find yourself looking up to him tomorrow. It's God that can bring down one and can lift up another. So God through Paul says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in a certain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Command them that they be good, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. They have to be willing to communicate, willing to distribute, willing to give. Amen. You have to understand this principle of sharing, freely sharing. Hallelujah. It's important. It's a kingdom principle. And Paul says, through the distribution of our prosperity, of our wealth, by allowing others to partake of the manifestation of the blessing of God in our lives, we are preparing for our future. He says, by so doing, they are laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. There are two things here. Giving lays a solid foundation for you against the future. It doesn't matter whether famine is introduced into your environment. It doesn't matter whether plenty continues. It doesn't matter rain shine. The foundation is solid. The devil can throw all sorts at you. And let me tell you something. I know you know that every now and then, a believer experiences a storm. Amen? You know what keeps him solid? Obedience to the word. Jesus says, he who hears my word and he does them is like a man that builds his house on a rock. When the storm comes, he is standing. But whoever hears my word and does not do them is like a man that raises up a mansion upon the sand. And when the storm comes, great shall be the falling of that house. Anytime you obey the word of God, you're laying a solid foundation for the time to come. You may not know what it's before you. You may not know what you experience. You may not know what will be thrown at you, but your foundation will stand. And one of the things that keeps that foundation solid is distribution. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he that hears the cry of the poor and turneth his ear shall cry himself and shall not be heard. The time comes that everyone in life cries about something to God. Am I correct? When you are a giver, when you give, particularly to the poor, to the less privileged, to the orphans, to the widows, to those that cannot physically repay you back, you lay a solid foundation for the future. It prepares you. It takes you out of today's struggle. It takes you out. If you want more of God, more of God's help, just pay your way out through sharing. Hallelujah. When you keep holding, you keep spending on yourself because you say it's not enough, you're never going to come out of this. Are you with me? I said, come out. God wants you wealthy. Come on. He wants you comfortable. And I don't know, but Paul, in a way, connects sharing, distribution with heaven. Do you know that in heaven, a lot of what's going to happen to you there is dependent on what you do here on earth? How many of you understand that? A lot depends on how you go about life here, how you go about using what you've got here, will determine heaven for you. Don't there is what is called, you know, everyone in heaven has a storehouse. Hallelujah. Everyone in heaven has what? A storehouse. Because God is a banker. I taught in this place about banking with God before. God is a banker. When you bank here, they keep your money, they use your money, they, you know, you can even die and not enjoy it. And someone else will come and inherit it if he's a foolish person. What you've used 20 years, 30 years to accumulate, he will spend it in 1 year, he'll blow it. Foolish child. God will not give you foolish heirs in Jesus' name. He says, when they give, they are laying in store for themselves good foundation in the time to come. And they are able to lay hold of eternal life. Every banking is good, but heavenly banking is better. It does not only guarantee our future provision, it takes care of how we would appear in heaven. So Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How do you lay up treasure in heaven? How do you lay up treasure in heaven? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 and 19 explains how we can get this done. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, and by so doing they are laying up for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That they may lay hold on eternal life. Hallelujah. I tell you, if you want to enjoy prosperity, even more of it, you've got to understand this kingdom principle. And one of the reasons why God wants the believer to prosper is for the sake of the gospel. Hallelujah. God wants the believer to prosper because of the gospel. If a believer prospers, the gospel should prosper. God is happy with the prosperity of his servants. He finds joy when the people, the church, prospers. Because through that, the kingdom should prosper. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17, the prophet cried and said, "Cry ye! Or cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem." My city shall spread, expand, the kingdom of God on earth will expand. The boundaries of the church will expand when my people prosper. God wants you to prosper so the kingdom can prosper. Oh, think about it, Pastor King. If I will have 10 million, Victor Assembly will have 10 million pounds in their account today. Woo! Woo! You know, I mean, we're not going to be here, right? In this building, right? We buy land, build beautiful sanctuary for God's honor in this city. And we'll be engaging City Connect. City Connect, so powerful. We'll be rehabilitating the roofless people, working with drug addicts, providing shelter for the homeless. Ooh. We'll go to Zimbabwe and build a clinic, well equipped clinic in one hospital like that. Ooh. We'll go to Ghana and put a well or come on. Anybody who tells you, you know, I listen on the social media, people arguing about tithe and offering. I said, these guys, they are foolish. Anyone who understands the kingdom will give his all. 10%, he will give his all. It doesn't matter whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, he will give his all. Hallelujah. To the gospel. He will invest to the gospel, in the gospel. I hear their argument. They say, well, tithe is Old Testament. I've said in Victory Assembly before, and I'm going to run up here, pick it up another time. I've said in Victory Assembly before, I don't care if anyone here does not believe in tithe. As long as it's not being stingy, it's not being greedy, it's not the whole tithe, you know, just hold, keep into your money. If you keep to your money, it doesn't matter. The gospel, God, the gospel will progress for people. And the God will provide. You know, we can ask God, you know, the people who sustain this church, they're not more than maybe 50%. We keep this work going. And we'll continue to go. I said, but if you are not a law person, you not this rigid law, you law, then we can explain to you. You know, the tithe predates the law. It's of faith, it's of Abrahamic covenant. And Christianity is built on the Abrahamic covenant. Cause is he that is hung on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham may come on the Gentile through faith. Abraham gave the tithe out of faith. Then when it got to Moses, God suspended faith and introduced the law. And when it got to Jesus, God took us back to the kind of relationship that existed between him and Abraham. Are you with me? It's of faith. I said, okay, if you want to do the New Testament, that's all right. You know the way they gave the New Testament? Once in a while, they close their bank account. And they come to the pastor, they say, this is all I've been saving for the past 10 years. I'm bringing it to the church. Once in a while, they sell their only car. And they bring the proceeds to the church and say, Pastor, I sold my car. And this is for the church. Once in a while, they remortgage their houses and they bring the proceeds to church. Once in a while, they sell their house and they move to rental appointment and they bring the proceeds. If you want to do New Testament church, that's what they need. How many of you are ready to sell your house to come and give your church? How many of you will sell your car to come and give the church? Don't tell me anything New Testament. It's all greed and self-centeredness. If you understand the kingdom, listen to me. You can worry about how pastors use the money and all that is genuine. It's legitimate concern. Hallelujah. But it shouldn't make you hold back from God. Hey, listen to me. Anyone who abuses what someone has given to God is accountable to God. But that should not stop you from being willing and obedient to man, to God. Praise the Lord. Am I making sense to you today? Now listen, you know, God wants wants you to enjoy wealth, I think I have to pick up from here because of time. God wants you prosperous. God wants you a blessing. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to do well. And you are anointed for that. There's no one here who is born again still carries a curse. Whether you are there yet or not, you are blessed. Whether it has worked or not, you are blessed. And today we place a demand on your blessing. And we ask for a quickening of God that will move you forward into that place of your dream, of your passion. Stand on your feet and lift up your hands like you're receiving something from God. Libra lito sobra lini mikiskedi manakasata. Likato produce inimantalibusata. Likinde libuso produna. Please lift up your hand, everybody. If you're willing and you're obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. As your hands are lifted, I ask that the blessing of God will be multiplied on your life. The goodness of God will multiply on your life. The grace of God will multiply on your life. The help of God will multiply on your life. The wisdom of God will multiply on your life. In the name of Jesus. And that which you are contending with, your warfare, we engage your warfare with you. Please hold your hands against someone. We, that battle, financial battle, health battle, relational battle, career battle. Come and pray in the spirit with me, someone. We join your warfare with you. Two shall chase a thousand. One shall chase a thousand. Two shall chase 10,000. Oh, we rout the devil you are contending with. We rout the demon that you are contending with. Please pray in the spirit. Pray out loud, everybody. If you can pray in tongues. Lebrali kalebranos. Lebrali kalaman kalebotoska. Lekeni balabokos kelimanama. That thing standing on the way of your joy. Standing on the way of your increase. Standing on the way of your success. We engage it in the spirit. We engage it in the name of Jesus. We engage it in the name of Jesus. We engage it in the name of Jesus. Lebrali kalabokos kelimanama. We pull it down, 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 we pull it down. Your wall is coming down. Your battle is ending now. Librari Kashagorobo Shakayaba. Lemoko Shata, Limende Kaline Moko Shataya. Manga, Tanga, Gondo, Branga, Lake Shata. In Jesus' name, hold your hands together. Lord, we agree in this place. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing is established. Everyone say amen. Everyone say victory. Everyone say breakthrough. Everyone say increase. Everyone say, I receive my joy. Say one more time, I receive my joy. For the last time, say, I receive my joy. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. That which we've spoken in this place, we declare it is established in the name of Jesus. Your success is established in the name of Jesus. Your victory is established in the name of Jesus. Your breakthrough is established in the name of Jesus. Your progress is established in the name of Jesus. Your freedom is established in the name of Jesus. I declare that the blessing of God is activated. May you sail with ease, into your wealthy place. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone shout a hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap of praise.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's celebrate God in this place. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't God wonderful? We thank God for His word that He's brought to us through His servant. You may be seated in His presence. You know, when Pastor Musa was ministering and he talked about, welfare and giving and all that, and I started to think about, our international outreach. You know, I know Pastor Musa is going to announce it very soon, but the Dunamis team, which is the welfare achievers and all that grouping, the children and all that, it's Team Anchor. It's Anchor now, not Dunamis. Just for your own information, is that okay? And Anchorship is going to be very soon in nations, doing exploits. So, quickly I would see Nora, leaders of achievers, leaders of the children and mighty ones, Tabitha and Joseph, those people, the youths, and achievers.